Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Topics, you know what they are by now. A lot of Knicks, a lot of Yanks, a lot of Mets, a little Johnnies. And really, at the end of the day, whatever you want to squeeze in. Let's get right back to the calls here. You guys are stacked and waiting on hold for a little bit. Let's go back to you. Let's go to the Bronx. William is on the fan. William, what's happening?
Hey, I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to mention something about the NBA Cup.
Yeah.
I feel like it kind of started with the Celtics' big three, and then with Miami, and then with Golden State, and what's happening, a lot of these teams and these players were organizing to play with each other to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in the middle of the season, they're saying, you know, I don't really want to play, even though I'm making $40 million. I want to rest. And I think it became a little cumbersome in the middle of the season. And I think the commissioner created the cup to bring back some excitement in the middle of the season and have players play.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly why I did it. Well, so you like it? I mean, listen, let's not go nuts here, but you think it's fine, right? You're okay with it?
Well, I love the NBA.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it regardless. I'm going to watch the Knicks regardless, but this
me too.
Kind of amped it up. Amped it up more.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough, man. So, thank you for the call, and thanks for checking in for the first time. Listen, if I want to nitpick a little bit here, okay, just to be fair to the conversation, today's December 17th. So it's not really the middle of the season. Nobody's played 41 games yet, and based on the calendar, you know, timeline, it's not in the middle of the season either. So there are dead spots, certainly in January and, of course, into February. You want to tell me maybe it's over a little bit too early? Well, I mean, maybe I could get behind that. Not enough to go nuts, but if I would tweak it a little bit, maybe they fired that bullet a little bit early, number one. Number two. Now, by injecting some much more competitive, a more competitive tone into the season, even if it's for a little, you know, a little snippet here, a couple of games here, a couple of games there, you do run the risk of an adverse impact, an adverse effect here, because let's face it, you know, last night and even the prior game with the Knicks, it was abundantly clear. Now, the Knicks generally play hard anyway because they've got character, and, you know, their best players. Certainly, Brunson is a man of integrity, and OG is going to play hard, and so they just play hard. They're pros, right? But it was detectable that there was last night felt different, right? And if it feels too different, which it did, in a weird way, doesn't that almost weaken the NBA's regular season even more? Like the object was to inject some intensity into it, which they did for a couple of days. But now, once we go back to, and forget about the Knicks, I just mean in general, the entire NBA. Now we go back to, all right, let's pick up the rest of this boring-ass season. And I love it, you know, but not all of you do. All right, 60-ish games to go, something like that. All right, it's going to be a snooze fest. And you're going to notice the drop-off in energy because it's palpable. It's going to be palpable. From last night to, you know, whatever you watch tonight and over the weekend. So that's an unfortunate byproduct of a pretty good thing. Not a great thing, but better good than not. Talking about the cup. Anthony Oldbridge, New Jersey, BT on the fan. What's up, Ant? How are you?
BT, thanks for having me on. First things first, you and Sal were great. I really enjoyed you guys during the midday. It was like hanging out with my boys talking sports, and that's ultimately what it should be about.
That's what every show should sound like. That's a compliment. Thank you.
That's first things first.
Thank you.
Looking forward to January. Already got my ticket.
You got it.
Bring a box of of course I got it. I'm bring a box of cards. Hopefully, you know, we can open up some cards together. See how that goes.
Well, let me just, by the way, Ant, hold on. Let me let everybody know what's going on. So some of you do, some of you don't. Anthony already got his tickets. It's coming up January 22nd. It is in Red Bank. Certain things I just can't say because I can't give free promotion, so I got to respect that.
No problem.
From WFAN, which I certainly will. I mean, hell, if I'm still on the air, I'm not gonna take a blowtorch to the place now. Just go to my go to my socials. It's going to be me and Sal live show. We're going to have a Frank Sinatra impersonator, the absolute best in the world. Aaron Boone's going to be up there. Now, here's the only thing that I worry about, Ann. We already ripped a pack of cards, me and Sal versus Booney. Sal beat him individually, and I beat him individually. Now, I would like to do it again, but, you know, me and Sal are the champs against Boone. So if I do it in front of 500 people and I lose, I don't know if I want to go out that way, Ann.
That's all right. I would bring a box. We'd do a few packs. It would probably be a little bit more moderate. I'd say early 2000s.
Okay.
I know it's not, you know, but either way, I'm going to bring it. I think we'll have a good time.
It's going to be a great time.
I've been doing it for 20 years.
Yep.
I could do a lot with that.
Very but, nice. Can't wait to see you, man.
Sports, looking forward to it, man. You listen, hot stove, baseball. I called you guys probably like 6-7 months ago in regards to this, and I think we're just kind of seeing it. Now, we're talking mainly Bellinger here in New York, but when you look at the overall pool of players, it's just not very fruitful, and it goes back to what I said 6 months ago. These teams have been locking up these younger players. Less and less are getting into free agency. Like, whether it's Bellinger or not, we have all come to the realization, Mets and Yankees, that it's very likely they're going to go into the season with a lot of young players. That comes with a lot of risk and a lot of unknown.
Yep.
But it just seems like that seems to be the tenor of what all teams are doing. Like you said, it's been a very slow hot stove. You've seen a few guys here and there. And I just think, you know, it's an overarching thing of what, you know, the baseball has become and what, you know, the teams, like you said, you know, need to shift their focus. Like, yeah, I think just signing guys for big money in free agency, I think is a lost art or a lost
and to an extent. And by the way, I will see you the 22nd. Thanks for the call. Can't wait. Bring the cards. I'll beat you. I'm going to put you down, Ann. I'm going to put you down. Thanks, dude.
All right.
All right, man. I'll see you next month in January. The Jays aren't relying on too many young players, and they're trying to get Tucker. And we know the Dodgers aren't. So the two teams that are in the World Series are not necessarily relying on young players. Now, the Yankees are. I feel like, you know Ben Rice is not going to be a good hitter. He is a good hitter. I know even if he doesn't improve a tick, which I think he will because he's still fairly young, I know that Austin Wells has value. 20 home runs, you know, plus lefty, frames it well, good defensive catcher. You know, I wish he was a bit of a better all-around hitter, but I say that because he's not going to come and hit, you know, 190 and, you know, six home runs where the Yanks are like, oh, maybe we got to send him to the minors. Like, that's really rolling the dice on a young kid. Austin Wells is a big league catcher, period. Ben Rice, big league hitter, period. Well, let's go. Volpe's obviously hurt. Caballero's been around a little bit. McMahon's a vet. Left field, obviously, Dominguez. See, Dominguez to me is interesting. And Sal and I would go back and forth on Dominguez all the time. And, yeah, I really, to be honest, I couldn't push back. I wanted to. I just didn't have the ammunition to do it. And I'm not going to make up stuff just to have a radio debate. Like, I've got to root it in what I truly believe. And when you're the number one prospect and when you're touted as, you know, a phenom with a nickname, which I never use, then you better be a whole hell of a lot better than you looked certainly most of last season. But when you look at Dominguez's season, you know, in total, he hit almost 260. Okay, imagine if Volpe hit 260 his rookie year instead of 209. 260, you know, with an OPS of 720. You know, and Volpe's, I don't know why I keep comparing to Volpe, but, you know, Volpe's OPS was 6-something. And, you know, I did think he would have more power, but he stole 23 bases, Dominguez did. So, and his on-base was 330, which is not good, but contrast that, I mean, it's okay. It's not good, like 350, 340s. Good, 350 is really good. Beyond that, you're terrific. 330 is fine. I could work with that. But he's a butcher in the outfield, or at least he was. He didn't play that often against lefties, so I don't know if he could ever swing the stick righty. Like, I can't get on top of the mountain and beat my chest for Dominguez. I just couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. It didn't make sense. But at least I know that he's not a stiff. Is he going to be more than what we saw a year ago? I think so, but I got to see it. I have no idea what Jones is going to do. He's intoxicating with his power and his arm and his size and his speed ratio. Strikes out twice a game in the minors. That's not good. So, yeah, the Yankees are relying on some young players, but with the exception of if Jones even makes the team or isn't dealt, and I think he might be or he could be, really Dominguez is the one where you're like, who is he and what is he? Because you're really not leaning on arms at the top of the rotation. Well, Schlittler, but he's different. Like McLean for the Mets, Schlittler's different. You know, you got Fried. Eventually, you'll have Cole. Eventually, you'll have Rodon back. You know, you got Warren, who's young, but not a rookie. You know, so you've got good arms. You got Yarborough, who's fine if you get some offensive support. The Mets' young players, I don't really feel like they're leaning on too many unknowns either. Well, but more than the Yankees. I don't know what Alvarez is. I don't know. Now, you want to criticize Dominguez. I mean, look at him. I mean, he just gets hurt. And he was their crown jewel, like Dominguez was for the Yankees. Who else? I like Beatty. You know that. I'm not feeling Mauricio. That's just me. You know, we know who Vientos is at this point. He's slow. He's got a good arm. He's an awful fielder. He's got power. He's inconsistent. So you can't fully rely on him, but I mean, at bare minimum, you could say, all right, to start, if he's not traded, to start the year, he's going to get 250 at-bats against lefties from the right side, probably Mesh, and if he earns more time, he earns more time. But yeah, our teams are relying on some young players, no question. Let me get Mike and Dayport on the fan with BT. What's happening, Mikey? Mike,
hello?
Mike, you there?
Oh, I'm on. What an honor to speak to you. I just want to say that I was listening to you today. I never call in. I'm piggybacking on everybody else. I'm a 62-year-old retired guy, and just listening to you, it's just a joy. So I just want to thank you for that. You and Sal, I want to thank you for that. But my point is, just if you give me a second to talk about St. John's for a minute.
Hey, Johnny, let's go.
You're the only guy that talks about St. John's. Yeah, it's you and Sal, you just talk New York sports, and that's why I love you guys. But just talk about St. John's for a minute. You're spot on. It's like talking to my buddies. It's like the text messages we do after every game, like last night against DePaul. It's just you're spot on. Patino's got to get them. He's got to get them over the hump. They're right there, but they got to learn to win.
They do. I mean, I think that you're right. Patino knows how to win. Zuby knows how to win, but they don't know how to win together yet because the chances they've had to really beat these good teams, you know, Iowa State's really good. You know, you beat Baylor, they're you know, whatever, and you should have won the Auburn game. Now, can you beat Kentucky? Like, that would be nice. I hear you. Learning to win as a group and a new group is not going to happen overnight. It's just not. You know that, Mike.
It's just the little things. They got to do the little turnover at the end.
Yeah.
Hit the layup with 2 minutes left. Not let it roll off the rim. Those are the things that'll get him over the hump. I appreciate you talking about St. John's. Nobody does it. I've been a fan since the 70s. Real quick story, because you might like it.
Yeah.
Because I listened to you this morning. You were talking about the kids. You got me talking about the kids and the sports and the travel sports. Gone in a blink. I'm 62. It's gone in a blink. I'd give anything to do it. Just for one more day, I'd give anything to do it. But
Mike, please. I'm already depressed enough, Mike. Come on.
No, don't be depressed. No,
I'm just teasing.
Don't be depressed.
No, I'm teasing.
Don't be depressed because, like I said, I never call and you got me. But so anyway, Frank Elijah. You remember Frank Elijah?
I know the name. I was born in the 70s. I never saw him play.
I know. You know the name. But his mother was my school nurse.
Okay.
This is a true story.
Go ahead.
One day I was in fourth grade. I was sick the whole nine yards. She starts telling me the story. A couple of days later, he shows up at my school, the elementary school, with Beaver Smith. And I get a call from the nurse to come to the nurse. She snuck me into the gym to shoot baskets.
Wow.
With Frank Elijah and Beaver Smith. And I will never forget that.
That's
and
awesome.
I think you're the only one. You're the only one that would appreciate the story. So I just want to thank you for the time. And I really enjoyed you guys listening to you guys. And it's awful what they're doing. I mean, you're not going to say it. You're not going to say it, but I just wish you guys were still there because you made it for all these retired guys that listen in the afternoon. You know, you give us something to do, and it's like talking to our buddies.
I got you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. And by the way, I saw a lot of St. John's fans last night. I love it. You know, talking about different things, Yanks and Mets, and I'll see you at the Garden again. We're not dead. We didn't die. Just going to do different stuff. You know, I remember talking to St. John about St. John's. there's two things, like the power. I'll probably get into a little bit more of this stuff on Friday, but the power of radio, like the allure of the spoken word for me was, it was like a magnet. It really, it was just, it was gripping. And I remember two things that jump out. I was coming back from a CYO game with my dad. I think we had played at St. Mark's that night. Probably won by 15. We were pretty good. Oh, my dad would snap on me sometimes. Oh, my God. And he was a really good coach. And we're at the McDonald's drive-thru. And we are listening to the end of the 86 championship, Big East championship. I don't even know what, I mean, was it on 1050? I don't even know where what station St. John's was on then. Because the fan wasn't even born. This is a year before FAM. And we hear Ron Rowan in the car hit the baseline jump shot about 15 feet. And then Pearl, who was amazing, Pearl Washington. I think Pearl was the first true superstar of the conference. Ewing was better. Mullen was better. Pearl was the show. So he brought those cameras with him and really made the Big East viable financially. Anyway, Rowan hits the jump shot. Boom. Johnny's up. He gets the ball. One thing about Walter Berry, he didn't run too hard in transition defense. He busted his ass. Pearl had a step on him, and he rejected him basically at the buzzer. And Pearl's not missing that shot. Johnny's would have lost at the gun. And they won the Big East championship that year, right? That's one thing. And I remember just sitting in the car hearing that on the radio. And then another one, I'm sure I was coming back from some type of practice the year before. I was in, trust me, my mom cooked a lot. You're hearing these fast food stores. I'm in the Burger King parking lot on Flatbush Avenue. God, what was that old amusement park? Not Nellie Bly. That's off the belt. Adventureland, whatever it was. Somebody's going to text me, one of my buddies that I grew up with or whatever. That little tiny amusement park, and there was a Burger King next to it. And we were in the parking lot, and I actually heard the Knicks draft Kenny Skywalker. And again, it wasn't on the fan. And it wasn't like, hey, let's send it out to so-and-so at the Felt Forum covering the NBA draft. You know, the Knicks just chose Kenny. They actually piped it in with the fifth overall selection. And I remember hearing that. You know, so listen, when you guys say, hey, you know, listen, I'm going to miss you. I love the show and all that stuff. Like, just, you know, I was a listener first. You know, I really was. And I love it. And I love radio. And it's not going to stop. And I cherish our relationship. You guys are the best audience in the world. It's awesome. On the best sports station in the world. Hey, what's up, though? Have you got something?
Yeah, well, Hoffman here, do this. I'll give it to you.
What?
Mets signing.
Yeah, okay. Hold on a second. Let me prepare myself. If it's not Bellinger. There's no, although I did tell you the report, Feinsohn, the other guy. First answer me, yes, sir. I'm going to say that it's not Bellinger. Is it Bellinger?
It's an ex-Yankee.
It's an ex-Yankee. All right, it's going to be an ex-Yankee scrub. They wouldn't have brought back Severino, who was actually pretty good for him. Ex-Yankee. Oh, that's a tricky one. It's a low level.
You didn't want him back. He was good for a time. You didn't want him back.
I don't know. Who?
Luke Weaver. 2-year deal.
Okay. I mean, not terrible. Boy, they got another Yankee scrap. Man, it's getting a little embarrassing at this point. Come on. I mean, just, you know, update the resume, you know, be a little original. I did not want him back. No. I did not want Luke Weaver anywhere near a meaningful high leverage spot for the Yankees.
Queens is pretty near the Bronx.
Yeah, I know. What's the terms? 2 years what?
Didn't see the terms.
You didn't see the amount of money? Yeah,
2 years,
I mean,
32 million.
I'm sorry, 32? All right, so you got 16 a year. I was close. I said 230. Yeah, I mean, when he's on, he's good. He's not on all the time. And I remember seeing something fairly recently where, you know, and I feel like this, everybody said, oh, so-and-so was getting a hit. Now he's tipping pitches. I think everybody's, that's the excuse now. You get lit up. Nice. Kind of showcasing what was coming. They knew it was coming. You know, and I've actually seen some video where and you can tell, I will say this, forget about Luke Weaver for a second. You can tell if a hitter knows what's coming by how they take an off-speed pitch. You could just tell. Like, if there is no give at all, even just an inch, then they know. And the inability to put guys away, foul balls, and then obviously squaring balls up on the barrel. Yeah, there is something to it that pitchers do get in that rut, and you can kind of see what's coming. And if you know what's coming at that level, you're gonna You can do some damage. I don't know if I can buy into that enough for Weaver. Fine. Would I take him? I didn't want him. You want to put him in the seventh inning? All right. Start there. Maybe the sixth? I mean, so the Mets are inching toward a roster. Yeah. Luke Weaver. Whatever. 888-808-1019. BT on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
He's always in black. Always in black. Was he always like that?
Not the very beginning, but for decades he has been.
What is with the transformation? Like, what was the impetus?
I think it became a personality. Like,
oh.
That's his identity. Now he wears all black.
So he thinks he's a gangster?
I don't know what
he thinks. Black, you know, something that you would wear in, I don't know, something Pacino would wear 30 years ago. It's actually a great jacket. Like the black leather jacket. An interesting persona. What a great guy, though. Such a pure sweetheart. Every time you see, and I got to tell you, he says it, so I'll take it. And I don't take it with a grain of salt, but I'll accept it. But then I hear him saying it to other people. Not everybody, but I'm like, Dove, I need your help here. I'm like, all right, is he just saying this to be nice, or is he just...
Do you want me to out him?
Well, yeah, because you used to drive him home every day after the show, right? When he worked with
correct.
My guy, Russ. All right. So he will say, oh, you're such a talented young man. This is before he even heard the news. Like, oh, you're so good at what you do. I remember he would say this when I was doing the national stuff. And he would say, I don't know why you're not on the Fan. You know, you have a perfect disposition to talk to the fans, New York sports. And, like, he'd go on and on. And it meant a lot because he's a legend. But then I hear him talk great about Sal, and which is justified because Sal's incredibly talented. And about other people, I'm like, is he just laying it on thick? Is this what he does? Or does he actually mean it? I don't know. I don't think he means it to me.
I think he means it, but he'll say that to people when he's talking to them.
To everybody?
Maybe.
Well, okay, hold on. You just contradicted yourself. You can't, if you say it to pretty much everybody, you can't think everybody's so talented. That's just not the way the world goes, because not everybody's talented. So
it seems like
he's kind of just laying it on.
As he's saying it, he really believes it.
Which, by the way, I will take that every single time over somebody who just puts their head down and ignores you. Like the time or two that I bumped into Imus when I was an intern and I was terrified. Everyone's like, oh, don't look at Imus. Don't look at Imus. At first, I was scared. I'm like, why? Why not? He's a human. No, don't make eye contact. Get out of here. Whatever. And then I'm like, yeah, this guy's definitely, he's a little bit of a different cat. I'm going to keep moving. So I'd rather, you know, the approach that Steve, even if he lays it on thick, it is all good. He is a really sincere sweetheart. You know him well, and you know that he is for sure.
Yep.
So the book signing's coming up, and we'll see who won. Hopefully you go out there, have a good time with Steve. All right, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Oh, yeah, by the way. Luke Weaver, let's, you know what? I'd like to hear Schmoozy get out the paper and write about that to start a show. The Yankee cast-offs, Pete's gone. That would be a pretty interesting open. But he's been around forever. I mean, Weaver. And, again, Soto's one thing, obviously. But now you're begging. Now you're just taking scraps. And now it just looks weak. It really does. And I know this, this has to bother Met fans a little bit. Like, early on... And again, Soto, totally different territory. But the other ones, some of the other early ones, you're like, all right, Severino. I could. And by the way, he was pretty good for you. Then the A's gave him, 3 years, whatever it was, and the Mets let him go. So some of the early decisions were fine. But now it's getting out of hand. Do they travel? I mean, is every move done with you have to play within a 9-mile radius of Citi Field to get scouted, to have a chance to sign with the Mets? I mean, Luke Weaver was a good story when he ascended to the role that he ascended to in 2024, you know, pitching big games in the playoffs there, and I loved him. And I like his fire. He's got a little, you know, he's got some, the sack meter is high with him. I think he's overachieved. You know, I think his sheer will's gotten him to this point, because I don't know if he's got amazing stuff, but when you're around 10 years and you've been on six teams and your ERA is 4.74 and your whip is over 1.3 and you're coming off a disaster with the Yankees and you get $32 million over 2 years, Stearns, what are you doing? Ugh. Chris is in Lindenhurst. Chris on the fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
Good, Chris. What's happening?
I want to wish you a happy holidays, you and your family. I want to wish Sal a happy holidays to him and his family, and thank you for the last couple of years of getting so many of the millions and millions of people around the tri-state area through their work day. It's been an absolute blessing to listen to you, and we will be following you wherever you go. God bless.
We appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sincerely, Chris. The one thing that I have a little regret, I'm not going to be able to come on the air Monday and tell everybody how Sal's corduroy suit flies at A-Rod's party Saturday night. I might have to put a little video out there.
I'm sure it's going to be epic, and from someone who watched you guys on YouTube every day, there is absolutely nothing like when Sal would get upset and his eyes would get as big as a cartoon character. Just you can't make this stuff up.
I know. Trust me. Every day I saw it. I know.
I'm Evan's friend, the guy with the Twitter baseball stats, if you remember me from a couple months ago.
Absolutely. Yep.
I just want to thank you also for finally someone saying something positive, semi-positive, about Jason Dominguez. I've been trying to call over and over and over. Look, 23-year-old outfielders who are 5'2 players don't exactly grow on trees. I know you wanted him to have a little more power. He never got really consistent playing time. He was always in the lineup for two games, out for a game, yep. In for a game, out for two. It's hard to get on a roll. The kid is a switch hitting. He hustles like nobody else on the team. I really wanted to see him in center field this year. I know we re-signed Grisham. That's kind of an albatross. If he's going to stay there the whole year, they're going to trade him. I don't know. But I assume the plan going forward is when Grisham leaves, Dominguez will take over center field, and then you could look at, if Bellinger doesn't come back, you could look at Jones for left field. But as you said, I agree. He is a strikeout machine. He's Rob Deere on crack. So I'm very...
Rob Deere.
I'm very weary.
Yeah,
I'm very weary about him. Last thing I'll leave you with, since it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
All right, how many former Yankees are now going to Queens? Is Wade Taylor, Jeff Johnson, and Scott Kamenicki going to be signed by the Mets now?
Hey, how about Sam Militello? How about Sam Militello? Take
care. Sam Militello.
Oh, my God. Chris, thank you for the call, miss. Yeah, it's getting a little bit out of hand now. I mean, it really is. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm just trying to give you my most honest, as I always do with all this stuff, my honest assessment of a young baseball player. You know, back to the Dominguez thing. Now, because we've heard of him since he was 16, he's been in the pipeline since he was that young, because he's got the nickname, number one prospect, five tool, modern Mickey Mantle, like, you're never going to outrun the hype, man. When you have that hype here, unless you are the chosen one, you're just never going to outrun it. It's just not going to work. You're going to always fall a little short, right? So he's probably destined to be viewed as a bit of a bust no matter what. I mean, even think about this, guys. Even if he hit 20 home runs last year and hit .277 with an OPS of .775 and instead of stealing 20, he stole 26 bases, like, you would still view him as a bit of a disappointment because of what we thought he would be. So that definitely distorts how I view him as a player. I admit it. But as I push that aside, I see somebody who's got some value. Now, I'm a little disappointed that the Yankees don't give him any runway in terms of, you know, seeing if he can hit from the right side. If that's the case, just scrap it and just hit lefty all the time and try to be a great lefty hitter instead of a competent one. And, you know, you look at the middle of his season, May, June, July. So he had, 70 at-bats, 140, then another 80 or so. All right, so you're talking about, you know, basically 200 change at-bats there, you know, 260 in for a three-month span. He hit .275 with an OPS .730. And he was pretty much, higher than that. I'm sorry, because in May his OPS was 854, and in July his OPS was 766. Now, again, I'm bombarding with numbers, whatever, but if you watched him during the middle of the season, you knew that there was an uptick, and he was stealing bases, and he was confident, and he looked highly viable. You know, certainly in the batter's box, and definitely on the bases. I don't know what the plan is. If you ask me right now, all right, the Yankees are going to make a move. Not that I think they're going to trade for Peralta, but I'm just some trade, right? And we have, meaning me or you, have the choice of giving up Jones or Dominguez. I'm giving up Jones. He's older. He's 25. Strikes out all the time. And I've seen this story. I know he can run too, and he's good. He's a better center fielder than Dominguez. But I've already seen Dominguez at least look competent on a major league field in the batter's box. Whereas Jones, yeah, a lot of home runs, a lot of whiffs. And when you're striking out twice a game against kids in the minors, well, generally that does not portend good things against the best pitchers in the world. It just doesn't. 888-808-1019. What do I have here? Dovey, any reads? Nothing. Okay. So was it 1239, 1240? I mean, we break when we want, you know. Do I have to break? I guess I have to. Do I have to? You tell me.
Well, do you need a break?
No, I don't. Do we have commercials to get in?
Do we have commercials, yes.
All right, let's pay the bills. Let's take care of that. I'll come back. I'll get the calls. Got you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You still listen to music a lot?
A little bit, not a lot.
I don't know that I can really function without music. Like, even in college, right, I would write, like, when I would have a real in-depth, thorough writing assignment, which I always enjoyed. I still love to write. I would basically sit down with, and I would have 3 CDs that I would listen to if I knew I was going to be there for a couple of hours, right? And that's when the typewriter, obviously I wasn't using a typewriter, but it had just kind of transitioned to, remember
word processor.
Yes, it was like, it had like a little digital, kind of looked like a typewriter.
You were able to go back to correct it before you hit.
Yes, yes, yes. And I would just hammer away on that for hours, and I would throw on either The Wall or of course Billy Greatest Hits or even Cat Stevens Greatest Hits. And I would sit, I love some of those songs. I would sit there and I would write, like, even as soon as I get in the car, of course I put the fan, I'm not just saying that. I mean, why would I say that now? I do get in the car and I put the fan on, like I'm kind of programmed to do that. I'll check out the other station, see if we're missing anything. But I am music. Like, I can't be in the car without music. I can't.
So you reference Floyd and The Wall a lot.
Yeah.
Did you go back to their earlier history at all?
No.
Adam Hart, Mother.
No.
Look Animals.
No.
Wish You Were Here.
No. That's why when I say I like Floyd, I love The Wall. Like, I could sing every song, not that I would, on The Wall. Dark Side of the Moon, I obviously like a couple of the main ones, but it's really more The Wall, really.
So Dark Side had the biggest following besides The Wall.
Yes.
But the other ones musically were much better. If you want to, you know, have your by your fire pit.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Listen to me. Adam Hart, Mother, put that album on. Animals.
Yeah.
Wish You Were Here, those three.
Wow, that is good Gumby music. I'm okay. Yeah, that's good Gumby, let's face it.
Yeah.
I mean, Pink Floyd's about as good a Gumby music as you could possibly ask for, Dove.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe we'll get around to it.
And I'll give you one more, not from Floyd.
Yeah.
But we played Dire Straits before, Money for Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Right? I love Dire Straits. Yeah.
Their second album was great, but not commercially successful. There were no real hits. Communique. Put that on by the fire pit with a little scotch.
Look at this guy. Who is this guy that I'm talking to? I think I'm talking to myself. Dove has come out of his shell. Took a while.
Now it doesn't matter. So
yeah, exactly. Everything's changing. Everything's getting better. Me and Sal hit, you know, top speed. Get lost. Me and Dovey. Dovey comes out of his shell. Doesn't matter. Get lost. All right, let's get back to the calls. Let me get Dean in Jersey City. What's going on, Dean? How are you?
Hey, Brandon. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Actually been listening to the station since I was in the Persian Gulf in 1990.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. Wow.
Sure.
Awesome.
Thanks. So I'm 57 from Long Island.
Yep.
So similar sports experiences as you, although my football experience with the Giants has been a little bit different.
Yeah.
But otherwise, Knicks, Yankees, Rangers. I've got two little baseball things that I always meant to call you guys and talk about, but expected you to be around longer. You know, you take things for granted sometimes. So, one, was it ever discussed when we were talking about Weaver that, you know, Mariano and Wetland actually switched places way back in the 90s? I just don't know if it ever came up on the radio.
Well, what do you mean? So, when the Yankees won at 96, obviously, Wetland was the closer. What do you mean? So...
Well, eventually he set up Mariano, didn't you know, at a certain point, right?
Didn't well, when did he leave? Out? Let's see. He came over
I think
from Texas?
Gone after that year. It was Mariano set up for Wetland in 96.
In 96.
And then he was gone.
And then it was gone.
Correct.
And then it was all, Mariano. Mariano, well, I should say Wetland never set up for Mariano.
Oh, he didn't?
Okay, no, then you had Nelson, Stanton, right. Mendoza.
Well, it's my age. Then,
that's
I
all
guess.
Right. It's all right.
Now, another thing, now this is one of those geek numbers. It's bothered me for years when people talk about games over 500.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you have 20 games, 500 is 10 and 10.
Yep.
Right? If you're 12 and 8, people routinely say you're four games
you're three
over 500. You're two.
Huh.
10 and 10. Right?
No, you said if you're 13 and or 14.
No, 12 and 8. If you're 12 and 8.
I told you it wasn't good math. What are you doing to me here? Now, 12 and 8. Yes, Dean.
You'd be two games over 500, but for all these years, they talk about 500 as if it's just your games, your wins between wins and losses, your difference.
No, I got you. I'm messing around. I hear you.
Half that. It's an odd number. That's
it,
all.
It seems like it rankles you all these years.
If 8 and 8 is 500.
Yeah, hold on. Don't take over. Step in.
If 8 and 8 is 500, correct?
10 and 10. 20 games.
Okay, 10 and 10 is 500. Then 14 and 10 is four games better. If four games over 500.
Well, yeah, but you can't be 14 and 10 in 20 games.
I understand.
It's the sheer number of, that's less important than the amount of games you are literally over 500. I'm getting a little confused here.
Yeah, you are.
But you're getting confused.
Well, in 20 games, 10 and 10 is 500.
Anyway, no worries. Dean.
On a more sensitive note.
Yes, Dean.
Last Friday, touched my heart as well as, you know, when Sal brought up that issue with his daughter. And I just wanted him to know that, you know, there's a lot of us out there. You know, we only found out that our older son was diagnosed on the spectrum when he was 12. And, you know, we had to put up with years of not understanding and the stress that Sal went through. You know, thank God he found out early. But to watch your son, as you know, be bullied and stuff because he's not doing things the way everybody else is doing it is hard. So,
wow, man.
You know, there's others out there.
Yep.
And maybe, you know, the platform you guys have been able to gain, maybe it can be used for this cause, you know? And I'd be standing behind you guys. If Sal and you want to be a mouthpiece for autism, I'm sure you'd help because there's so many kids out there. The spectrum is broad and they're being diagnosed all over the place and not being treated well, unfortunately.
Mm. That's real life stuff, Dean. Thanks for being that transparent, and thanks for making the call, and thanks for confusing me with the numbers. But
I would be at the live show, but it's my little guy's 10th birthday, so otherwise I'd be there.
I understand. Happy holidays. God bless you, bro. Enjoy it. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just say this without the ability to do it, but I would certainly be open to creating some sort of a charitable angle connected to the BT and Sal live show for autism. I mean, that's something I'll talk to Sal about and my people with the stuff. Of course, you know, I remember, when did I say it to Sal? I don't really remember. I don't think he would mind me saying this because it's a good thing. It's not about, it's about him. I would, if I had to guess, maybe, let's say we did 2 years together. I would say maybe a year into it. Like we just started getting closer and talking. about real life stuff, you know, including his daughter and, you know, stuff that I deal with and everything. We all have stuff, right? And I remember saying to him one point, as off the air, I says, you know, I said, this is the side that you got to let people see just a little bit more. I said, because you're such a likable dude. You know, you're like, and I get the combativeness, which I love, and I'm like that too. I'm like, just show this a little bit. Because I think people would want to love you and not just battle you on the radio, but would want to love you. And, you know, in an ironic, probably unplanned twist of fate. And I know many of you loved him before that, but he felt that love on Friday when he was vulnerable and when he opened up. And that was poignant stuff. I'm happy he felt that. Let me get Jimmy in St. James. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yesterday you were talking about Volpe's arm strength.
Right?
Yep. So I got information on it. He throws 82 miles an hour on average, and you can compare that to Ellie De La Cruz, who throws 92.6.
There's no way he's throwing the ball 80. There's no, I could throw the ball 80, 70. There's no way he's throwing 82. There's
82,
no chance. 82.
It's more, well, that's what the numbers say.
Well, where'd you get that from? Enlighten me. Like, honestly, because I love the numbers. I got it from
a scout I know that has access to the information.
All right, hold on a second. Yeah. No, go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry. Finish up.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And no, so because I called him and I heard you talking,
mm-hmm.
I gave him a call, and he goes, all right, let me see if I can find it. And he looked it up. He goes, he's average, 82. And 92.6 for LA De La Cruz. And he said, it's not his arm strength, it's his accuracy. You can see he makes a lot of wild throws. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, I think the accuracy took a ridiculous turn for the worse this season here. No, but he doesn't have a strong arm. I'm calling nonsense on that. I'm going to get my own answer. Again, I appreciate you with the call. Appreciate the call, the numbers, whatever, the scout. I don't know. This scout might want to check his radar gun because there's no way that's going to be accurate. Hold on. Let me just log into... All right, so I am on the Perfect Game profile. Many of you know Perfect Game. It's the absolute best amateur baseball organization in terms of competitiveness. It's phenomenal. I mean, you want to see real players, you go play Perfect Game. So the cool thing about this, and it starts really young, like my son plays here. And what I did, that's why I'm able to sign in. That's the only reason I have the account. So, I could go, and I have done this many times. I even did it with Lindor Pete in the search bar. I'll type in a player's name. And I think PG's only been around 10 years, something like that. Maybe a little more, but probably about a good 10. And then I'll just look at these players and see where they were when they were 12. It's fascinating, 15. And I've done Volpe many times, so let me pop him up. Anthony Volpe, here it is, 2018 All-American Classic player. 25th rated player overall in the country, the 7th best shortstop prospect in the country, New Jersey, 2nd overall, number 1 shortstop, 5'11", 180, at the time of the draft, he was 18 years old, 1 month, Dale Barton High School, bats right, okay, commits to Vanderbilt, perfect grade 10, I'm saying this because they have numbers on my son, they tell you how hard you throw the ball, because they measure it, and here it is, and I'm right. So his infield velocity in 2018 as a high school player was 87 miles an hour. There is no way a major league shortstop's throwing the baseball 82 miles an hour across the diamond. It's not happening. It's just not. It's like a pitcher throwing 79 miles an hour. It's just, there's like a certain benchmark where if you're not at it, you can't play. Now, I'm not saying that there can't be a fluctuation, and he's definitely not like De La Cruz. I mean, some of these guys, I mean, he's one of the lower arm strengths in baseball. But, I mean, to say that he's 82 is just factually incorrect when he was at 87 at the age of 17, 18 years old. Now, say if you're 88, 89, 90, and, you know, your arm's a little sore. Well, okay, sure. You might lose 3 ticks across the diamond. You kind of babied over there. But no, I knew 82 was not. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to the last caller, but trust me, I know my numbers. There's no way he was throwing 82. John's in Bayonne. What's going on, John? How are you today?
BT, John. I got to say this. BT.
Yes.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to miss you because you were the most respectable guy for St. John's. And I was a big St. John's fan back in the day. with Lou Carseca and stuff like that, and the memories you're bringing up and how they won and when they played Georgetown and Thompson and all. And I met Rick Pitino 2 times. I met him with the dinner with him, Calipari, Joe Talp for the Nets and the Devils, and John McClain were doing a consultant job to put into a place at near the Meadowlands for John McClain.
Nice.
And we had dinner with them during the Final Four, Calipari and Pitino. Then I'm out in Vegas, and I'm out there golfing at the TPC, Sutherland.
I played there.
And there's nobody on the course, you know, so my friend is a member there. So he introduced me to the locker guy. He said, "This is John Pitino." He said, "Okay, boom." Takes my stuff, puts it in a locker, you know? I said, okay. I go out on the course. Nobody out there. Nobody. It was no front, back, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I open up the locker, and there's a duffel bag. And it's got the Fighting Irish on it. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
And I said to the guy, I said, "Whoa, what's this bag for?" He goes, "Oh, you're Rick Pitino, right?" I said, no, I'm John Pitino." I said, "Why, he's out here?" He said, "Yeah, he's out here golfing." I think he was going for the UNLV job.
Wow. What year is this? What year? About.
It's got to be the 80s.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah, it was something else. And when it came down to it, it was crazy to say 80s and 90s. It came down to it, though. I should open up the bag. Might have been a bag full of money.
Yeah. That's what. Maybe it's a mob drop. You know, who knows what? No, yeah. I don't mean, you know, the mob for Rick, but I mean, yeah, I would open the bag. How do you not? See what's in there. Take something. Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I'm gonna meet you because you're a Yankee fan. Sal was a little edgy with his Soto. He used to burn me up.
Soto.
Man, DT, you were a class act, man. You were fantastic. You were Tiki, and I hope you hook on back up here somewhere. We can always chat. I always enjoyed myself chatting with you. Never gave me an argument. Always is agreeable. Always giving your opinion.
Yeah,
fairly. You know, not, you know, getting mad and saying, "Oh, because Sal used to get mad at me with Soto." I used to call
him. Oh, man. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Listen, have a happy holiday, you and your family.
Yep.
You're going to be successful because of your talent. And
thanks,
I just, like I say to you,
I wish you could have
stayed on because you're definitely a joy to talk to.
I appreciate it. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Very kind words. Thanks, pal. Thank you, man. 888-808-1019. Got an hour to go here. I'm off tomorrow, Friday. I'll wrap it up. And I want to just keep banging the phones. I want to talk to you guys. I want to enjoy it. There's some good stuff, whether it's the Knicks stuff, whether it's now the Mets taking another Yankee. Yeah, you could keep Luke Weaver. I wanted Soto. You could take him, Weaver. I mean, a few other guys you could take, too, while you're at it, if Stern's going to keep this up. So we'll get back to those calls. Let's get the update. Bogus just coming at you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.